Where to begin? Remember last week, I said, you guys, I hope you're full of it in a good way. So I want to share a little bit on that and go into just a little bit more today in another scripture. And this was something that even was sent to me the day or two afterwards. And I think I appreciated Linda. She was saying that she started going through the scriptures and just looking at fullness and measure and the fullness and without measure and things like that. And I think it is very important that we do get this grasp of it, that I am here to tell you that what you need, you've got. What you need from God today for your situation, you've got it already. Now, I also understand that we go back to Him and say, Lord, fill me again, you know, with the Holy Spirit to fill us as we give out and take the proclamation of Him out. And many times we go through and we'll find ourselves drying out ourselves, but that's the refilling of the Holy Spirit, and we need that all the time. Every day you need to say, refill me, top me off, whatever the case might be, like that of gas in your car or, you know, whatever it might be, so that you keep going and keep being proficient and efficient. But as far as when we come to Christ and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, that everything that we need at that time, it is put within us. And now it is up for us to begin to dig in and find those nuggets, or whatever we want to call it, to find that in us that God has put there. And generally, the only way you're going to really do that is to begin to dig into His Word and to understand what He is telling you and what He's sharing about Himself in you. And then we get into the New Testament and we find through that of Jesus. And that's where last week we talked a little bit about that, as far as we found that everything that Jesus had, Jesus, He's passed it on to us. So God put everything of Himself into Jesus. And Jesus says, here, go do as I've done. I am putting this into you. I'm charging what I have. Go now and do to those of His disciples. And today we have disciples of Christ. Hopefully everybody that's in here is elevated to that level. I am a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I've got to come to a clarity of understanding that as I go proclaiming what He wants me to proclaim, is that He's given me what I need to proclaim. And it's going to be His voice in us. He's going to be His message in us. It's not your message. It's not my message. It's whose message? His message, to go out and proclaim it. And so I want to look at understanding the abilities that are within us. As we continue to look in the area of the fullness, without measure, or measureless, I want us to look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. But in my New King James, in Colossians 2, 9, it says this, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. The Godhead bodily is in bodily form. So God was in what bodily form? He came to us through Him of Jesus. He assumed that bodily form, Jesus Christ. So here He is in the bodily form, my Godhead. So Godhead, bodily form, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality. What is this principality? Principality is rule and authority and power. The enemy that we know, that of the devil, does nothing more than wants to keep you powered down and tell how much you are insignificant and that you have nothing to offer to the things of God, or that you are so unworthy to be used by that of God. And in the beginning, I would say, yeah, devil, you were right. But something changed when I did what? When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and repented from my sins and asked Him to cleanse me of my sins. And I said, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. When I took that step, when You took that step, there was a change in Your persona. There was a change in you as who you were. You were no longer just Tim or Dawn or Linda or Doug, Denny's, Vicky's, Dan's. You know, There was a change in us that put us on this path of what we're to be on, of bringing forth that message of what God has. And the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy wants to battle you. The enemy wants to put dumb thoughts in you. The enemy wants to try to take you back to where you were BC, before Christ in your life. Because if the enemy, the devil, can keep us back before Christ, he's got us right where he wants us, that you're useless, worthless, nothing. But we would say, that's true, devil. That's about the only time that the devil probably tells the truth. But everything else is lies. But then you've got to remind the devil that, but that was back then. But now with Christ in my life, I received him as my Lord. I am a new, what, creation. All of those old things have been passed away. I am now a new person. How many here, you've become a new person? Amen? So in the Amplified, it would look at this. For in him, all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. In Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth as a babe and walked for, 33 years and about 3.5 years at the end of his life, of the power really exploded within him to fulfill what the destiny was for him. Wow, the divine essence of God. And then it goes on in verse 10, and in him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. So how do I get my spiritual stature? Through Christ. Not through my church, not through my pastor, not through my works, not because I give to the church. All of those things are well and good, kept at that level of what they should be. But we have that spiritual stature through Christ, and he is the head over all rule and authority, over every angelic and earthly power. It's trying to get our understanding into the body of Christ today, and I've said this many, many times, and we're going to keep saying it because I got to hear it myself. But this, that we have a power within us that is beyond anything of the power within this world. Our power is out of this world. Our power is that of the Holy Spirit in us. As we desire more of the Spirit, fill me, Lord. Use me, Lord. We talk about where Jesus said he goes so that he could come to lead us into all truth and things. That dunamis power, that of dynamite in our lives, that we are a power source upon this earth for the kingdom of God for such a time as we are in now. Tim, there's a lot of craziness on. I don't want to be around here. I want to be here. I want to be here proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the power of God to give a help to those that are broken, like I was broken, to say it's not over until it's over. You know? It's not over until Christ returns again. Until he returns again, God wants us here proclaiming the kingdom to those around us, praying for our nation, praying for the lost, praying for our leadership, praying for our churches, praying for our families. It's a tall order, but God's a tall God. And everything, again, what we need is already in us. Remember what this word fullness is meaning. Repeat from last week. A full member, a full complement, a full measure. This word emphasizes fullness and completion. The devil would like to tell us that, okay, so your God has put things in you, but Tim, it's not completed yet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. But there's a completion. What is working in me is me beginning to develop those things that he's put in me to become mature or perfecting of the things that he's got in me. And we do that by reading and studying his word, or going back to his word for a situation, or it's being in his presence through that of prayer, through that of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the case might be, what we have got to do is we have just got to be around him, by him, close to him all the time. Every waking moment of your day, you need to be close to him because he's close to you. It's not to say we don't go and we don't work and we don't go and we go fishing or we go shopping. It's not that. It's like we can do all of those things, but it's always that you walk with him with you. We've had instances where people have shared where they've been at stores and maybe somebody just out of the blue says, do you pray? Or Would you pray for me? Whatever the case is, and there's something there that that person has seen. There's a spirit around you that is showing that person something, then why would they just come up to you and say, you're a Christian, or you pray, don't you? And at first it takes you off guard, because it's like, well, I don't know, am I wearing a sign on me or something like that says, I'm a prayer warrior, I'm a Christian. No, there's something about you because Christ is in you through that of the Holy Spirit. There's a force field around you. Remember that force field? You know, you walk into a place, it's got a lot of lights on in here. You wouldn't think there's darkness, but believe it or not, out in the world there's darkness, but the sun is shining. But you walk out in that darkness, that's the sun is shining still, but there's even a brighter light because of the light in us. That Jesus is the light. So as we understand these things and we're looking at this, emphasizing that of completeness and that of fullness without measure. Now, if it had been up to me, I probably wouldn't have given everything that I had into you until I figured out if you were going to be worthy of it or not. Man thinks that way. But worthy, worthy, oh God Almighty. And what He is, we become because of Christ in us. It's not to say that we've arrived. We still need to repent at times. We still need to seek out God in areas. We need to get His mind, the mind of Christ. We need to renew our minds. We need to do a lot of things continually in this realm to where we're at, because we have not arrived until we are that vapor that, whew, now we're gone, and we're gone to heaven. As I look at this area, I want to look at a little bit of a footnote here. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. So here's what we're finding out. In this area of Colossians is this, that where the heretics through devious methods promise progressive spirituality in which Christ is demoted and the basics of Christianity is denied. See, there's heretics out there that they want to take away the power that is there in Jesus. Even back then, as we are finding this, as we're walking through this, and as Paul is there in Colossians and talking to these people, there's heretics out there that want to take away the authority or understanding or the power that's there in Jesus Christ. And they want you to think of it as coming from someplace else, probably themselves. But anyway, it's in which Christ is demoted and the basics of Christianity are being denied. Do we have that today in our society? Where powers to be are still trying to demote and detract from the powers of Christianity? Yes, there is, and there will always be until the return of Christ. But it's for us not to buy into that. It's for us not to believe that. It's for us to say, ah, but the Word of God tells me that's what's going to happen. Ah, Tim, can you believe what is so wrong out there now is being spoke of as being right? Now, we try to stand on truth and the rightness, and they're over there telling us that that's not right, that's a lie, and their lies is the truth, and, oh, yes, God's Word tells us. We've got to be prepared, and you will be prepared as you have studied His Word and you've got it in your heart to where when you hear these things, because God's Word did so well at preparing us. You are prepared if you've read His Word. Oh, I think it says in there that there will be a time when they will say the right is wrong and wrong is right. Oh my gosh. Turn on the news in the last decade, in the last 3 weeks. Listen tomorrow. Listen tonight. It's like, I don't know about you folks, but I hear this stuff on the news and I'm sitting there with my wife and we're sitting, I go, what? That don't even make sense. What don't, am I the only wise one? I doubt it because I'm not that wise. But in Christ, but see, the Lord has put within us all that we need, and some of it is not really, well, a lot of it, well, it all will be that of God. But I think part of us has a built-in system that God put in us, a basic sense of wisdom and understanding. But this world has done away, the God of this world has done away with common sense and thinking through, this is illogical. And that was before Spock started talking about that on Star Trek. Well, Captain, that's illogical. You're illogically thinking. Okay, Vulcan. Paul summons the Colossians back to Christ. We in the church today I believe, are having to call back those that call themselves Christians. And you got to change. When these Christians that have strayed come back to his church, they need to repent, just like we all repent at things that we do or come or say or don't say or do, blah, 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 blah. But they need to come back. So we, in the church of today, we need to summon the church back to Christ. If we can get the churches back to Christ, things begin to change dramatically, exponentially. But it will not change until the church gets back to the power that it has been given, that it so willingly gave away through lies and dissension and false philosophies, and beginning to cause people to doubt. The devil is the god of doubt. And once he can get you to doubt, it's downhill from there. Because until you take a hold of the reins of that horse, you've got a wild horse that's taking you down a path that you don't want to go, because one doubt leads to the next doubt, to the next doubt, to the next doubt. But as Paul is summoning the Colossians back to Christ, I feel today we are doing the same thing with those of the church, of faith. Many good people have gone astray. Do you believe that? Many good people. People that you knew personally, that were in the trenches with you 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And they left that church to go find another church, but they only left that church to be lost out there where the devil wanted them to be, totally removed from the body of Christ. Now I know, out there on their own, they can still have a time and a devotional and all that with God. But there's something missing when you don't have a corporate unity of power of the church coming together in oneness, because that's when the power of Christ is, or the power of the Holy Spirit, I should say, is put in. It's the power of oneness in us. It's that dunamis power. The world uses it in their corporate lingo and stuff, have synergy. When you get a company of people working together, no matter what it is, and you get a power and they all come together to expand or to promote or to move forward that company's agenda or that company's development or that company's design, and you get the whole group working at that, the synergy that is there will move that thing down the field. So that in Christ, we have that synergy if we have the Holy Spirit in us, that dunamis power. And that's the thing that the devil wants to continually do what? Keep us sidetracked with all these other little skirmishes of backbiting in our churches and gossiping. Gossiping's a sin. Gossiping, you better get up here to the altar or sit somewhere and say, "Oh, Father, forgive me for gossiping." That's just as bad as anything else in sin that you would do. But anyway, we need to get the church back, just like Paul is summoning the Colossians. Hey, don't listen to this. We're going to get in a little bit. And then progressing in faith consists of deepening and not discarding the basic truths about Christ. We've had many, sad to say, from the church pulpit, discount and discard the basic truths of God's word by saying, that was for a time back then, but not for now, so we're going to go down the path of allowing this or doing that, and this is okay, and that's fine, and don't worry about that, and we can do this. The morality standards in a lot of our churches has gotten so much close to the world that you don't even know if it's the church or the world at times. It just so happens they go into a place that's got something about maybe, there were some churches out there, I remember at one time, they started getting away from even showing the cross. I heard stories about that years back. Why did they want to take the cross out of the church? It would do what? It could offend people. Or it would make them queasy. Or they would think, oh, this is a spiritual church because they got a cross. No, that's the very foundation of our faith. With our sins on the cross, Jesus died for you, brother, for you, sister. And if that's when you walk into a building and you see a cross and it's causing something within you to go, I feel uncomfortable, I feel squeamish, praise God. Praise God, because the Spirit of God is calling you back to say, you sinner, but look what's there, the cross. And what was accomplished on the cross was for you and you and you, and goes on and on into the decades. But how could some of our churches go, well, we don't want to offend people, we don't want to make them squeamish, so we're going to do away with the cross. Maybe, do you guys remember hearing things like that or seeing things, articles about churches? Did you, Janice? Yeah. It's just like it was the craziest thing. When I read that, it's like, what in the world? But it's really the devil getting into our churches to sit there and say, water it down. Because God's word, and God's never going to say, water my word down. It's going to be the devil say, water down, make people comfortable, and go from there. So progress in faith consists of deepening, not discarding, the basic truths about Christ. And now what the false teachers call enlightened are liberated. Have everybody say, we're going to liberate you Christians. We're going to bring it to light of what you don't really understand. We're going to explain it to you through philosophical means and through philosophy to make it understandable to you. The only thing is, when they go into the philosophy and the philosophical things of that, is this, that it doesn't line up with what God says. Because some things that God does, I can only understand it by what God did. There is no reasoning. It's just like, God did it. God spoke it. God did this. So we might come back to that too. So we got to look at this as far as false teachers call enlightening, and we're going to enlighten you. We're going to liberate you. You poor Christians, you need help. And I'm here to help you. I'm here to put you on the right track of where you need to be with God. As we look at this here, again, let's emphasize, Paul is asserting Christ's deity in the fullness of God living in us. It means that all of God was in Christ's human body. When we have Christ, we have everything that we need for salvation and right living. It's all there within you. In verse 10, remember that where it said, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In 10, what we're finding here is this. When we know Christ or Jesus, we don't need to seek God by other religious means. Everything you need is right there. Do you agree? I hope. In other words, you don't need cults, or you don't need unbiblical philosophies as the Colossians were doing. Now, we find out that Christ himself holds the answers to the true meaning of life. Why is this? Because he is life. In him, we have life. We have life eternity through that of Jesus Christ, his blood, receiving him as our Lord and Savior. We have eternity. But I want to encourage you that there's more to this walk with that of God than just knowing where you're going to spend eternity. You know, it's like you've got the guarantee, but let's grab everything we can. You know, sometimes, you know, there's some of those commercials out there, and it was probably back in the days of like beer commercials when there went out there and kind of a crazy thought process. But it's like, grab all the gusto you can. That was for a beer commercial, I think. Grab all the gusto you can. I'm going to tell you this. When you're a child of God, I would encourage you, grab all the gusto, all the stuff that God has put in you, Pat has for you, and you go out and use it. You go out and proclaim it. You go out and you live it day in and day out. Even going through hard times, sad times, tragedies, it's hard. I'm not saying it's simple. But then you're going through a tragedy or something sad or just knocks your wind out of you. I can only go to God to help me go through those times. It is only when I have that void of emptiness that I can go, God, fill it, please, with you. Fill it with your love. Fill it with your comfort. Fill it with you, Lord, to help me get through this. So as we're talking about this real quick, if I look at 2:8, if I just go back up to Colossians, still in chapter 2, but just go up to 8. And it says here, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of God or men? Men. According to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Be aware lest anyone cheat, and they're cheating you out of a good thing, aren't they? Literally, it would be this. They're going to plunder you or take you captive. Many times we've been taken captive by the world's philosophies. We have been taken captive by what man says to do. We can look back at times of different psychologists and people in the world. We had those people out there. They're going to tell you how to have a marriage, a good marriage. There's people out there how to raise your kids, even though they didn't have any kids. They're going to... I mean, come on, guys, common sense. If I'm going to go and have my car worked on, I'm not going to go to some guy that when I look in his yard, he's got five cars, they're all up on blocks, he doesn't know what he's doing, but he keeps working on them. I'm going to find out one of these days. Well, you're not going to experiment on my car. I'm going to go to the garage that says, hey, we got certified mechanics. They know what they're doing. We'll fix it for you. But yet we've allowed the philosophies, the mind games that the world has, that some of these men, that the enemy, I believe, put it in them, because a lot of these men and women and individuals, whatever, back in the 70s and whatnot, 60s maybe, 70s, they've destroyed a culture. They've destroyed a family unit. There's so much that has been taken away because of just they sowed a little bit of discord. What is it talking about? A little leaven? Wow, leaven's the whole thing. And so we had these people, supposedly because they had doctoral degrees and they had five or six diplomas on the wall, and they're going to tell you what you need to do to have a good life. For you to have a good life, I would say this: receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allow him to begin to move in you and undo some of those things in you. Trust him and believe in what God has for you. And then do what? Yes, renew your mind with that of the Word of God, with God through that of the Holy Spirit, not through man and what they want to tell you and what they want to teach you, because we have found many times over that it's gone the opposite way. We can look at that through raising of kids, to that of marriages, to that within our schools, to all of these things that are out there. Falsehoods, lies, deception. What did this talk about saying? Literally, they plunder you or they take you captive. Taking you captive to me is this: they get you right where they want you in their thought process where they are at, and then they start manipulating you. I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to be manipulated by somebody, I want to be that of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And that's when sometime back I had shared, I don't care if anybody else, but I feel at times I want to be a puppet on the string of God. And to where whatever movement it is, it's God. And that I'm making, hopefully, the right choices. I pray, I seek him out, I ask him for his advice, his direction. Sometimes I've heard him tell me, Tim, I've given you a mind, you should be able to figure that out. But I just wanted to come to you, God, just to check, okay? So basic wisdom and understanding, we're kind of put that within us. And I think it's there if you don't let the world corrupt it. And once the world corrupts your basic understandings of things, then you are out there like, oh, what am I going to follow? I'm going to follow that crowd. I'm going to follow this crowd. I guess I have never been one to follow crowds. How about you? But we have a lot of people that want to follow the crowd. They want to belong. And that's what's gotten a lot of our families and our kids into gangs, into these groups that are out there. It's because they want to belong to somebody. Hallelujah. So we look at that. In this, we look at beware unlest anyone. This is getting back to Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheats or plunders you or take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. We've read that. What we're finding here, Paul is speaking against any philosophy of life that's based on the human ideas and experiences. Paul himself, he was a philosopher, and so he's not condemning it, but that which credits man and not Christ for having the answer to life's problems, that's where the problem lies. When this man saying, I've got the answer for your problem, this is what you do, run! But if they sit there and say, this is what you can do for your problem in life, and this is what the Word of God says, follow it. Begin to look at it. Begin to digest it to see how that could help you. So Paul himself, he was a gifted philosopher, so he's not condemning philosophy, but that which credits man and not Christ for having the answer to the problems. There are many man-made approaches to the problems of life that completely disregard God. In doing so, they become a false religion. And to resist this, we must use our mind, keep our eyes on Christ, and stay in God's Word. Amen. I like what I just said there. Keep our minds on Christ. Use our minds. Keep our eyes on Christ, I should say. And stay in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Everything that we need, believe it or not, is where? It's in the Scriptures. It's God. God in his infinite wisdom has put everything on what life needs to be and how you handle life. And if you want directions and how to deal with things, go to the best book in the Bible for a lot of that. It would be Proverbs. You know, look at Solomon. He could have had anything he wanted. Could have had riches, multitude of riches. And he just says, well, God, all I want to do is, how do I handle these people? A wealth of wisdom there, let me tell you. Trying to have the knowledge, and what should I do? How can I have to handle people and give them wisdom, advice? And so Proverbs will tell you how to raise your kids. It'll tell you about your marriages. It'll tell you about your, it'll tell you everything in life. People, your friend, whatever. You just go through Proverbs. But God's word has prepared, and it's there for us. And it is fresh for us today. God's word is not stagnant, even though it's how many thousands of years old. But it is fresh. It's like you take that wrapper or that seal off of the bread, and you know when you've made fresh, or you've got fresh bread, you take that seal off and that freshness of that loaf comes out. Fresh. Well, they've been making that same bread for the last 50 years, but why is this loaf fresh? Because it's been made new. It's coming. They have to renew it. God's word is continued to be fresh for us today. It's new for those that have not heard it. It's new for those that have not read it. And it's new for us even today because of bad of the Holy Spirit in us. How many times have you read a scripture and then all of a sudden you read it like for whatever time, the 50th time, and you see something totally different in it that opened it up even more? It's that rhema, we call it, that expands within it. It's only by that of the Holy Spirit in you that brings your attention to just one word in that entire verse, or maybe two words, whatever it is. And that's the foundation that all of a sudden that light switch gets turned on, and then you go, oh, yes, I understand this. God's word, every day that we read it, it's revealing things to us. It's even revealing new things for us. And I think it's because as we are in the Word long enough, we are growing and what? Maturing. We're being able to understand it a little more clearer. We begin to think. There's times I've read a scripture or something, I go, man, I've read something similar to that in another book. Or I read something similar to that in this book. And it all begins to tie together. You begin to read, and it begins to formulate in you, and you begin to kind of keep this in comprehension, and you're going, you know what? There's something to this. God's word is active and alive for today. Christ fills the church with gifts and blessings. Having been raised from the dead, Christ is what? The head of the church. We, his church, we should not fear anything. Don't walk in fear. If you're a child of God, don't walk in fear. You've got the power. Amen. Do you believe that? Well, I've got the power in the name of Jesus. I've got that power. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in who? You've got it in you full measure, complete. Act upon it. Activate it. Learn more about it. You know how it talks about in our minds and our thought processes that we only use a very small portion of our brain capacity? I think just now it hits me that is similar to that of our brain. We only use a very small portion of our spiritual power within us, of the fullness and the completion of God within us. Because of some whatever reason, you know, our own inabilities to think that we are of that type of ability, because, you know, we've been told so many times that you don't know it, you don't have this, you are you sure, blah, blah, blah. We think less of ourselves. These are all the tricks and the schemes of the enemy to just kind of keep you vacillating back and forth, like, am I not? I don't know, maybe. Get your mind set upon Christ, amen. Keep your focus upon him, and don't put it upon anything else. No matter what the world says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what anybody says, you focus on that of Christ, and you're going to be powered by that of Christ. And it's going to be there for you to fulfill, because we, his church, should not fear anything. The church, which is us, should be the full expression of Christ. God's word states that Christ is what? The head, and we are the body of his church. Expressing the church as a body shows the church unity, and each member is involved with the rest in going about doing what the work of Christ would be. And so it's important that we serve as a team, as one with that same desired, and that one desire of the outcome. What's our outcome? To proclaim that of Christ. To return back those that have been lost. To reconcile those back to God. For that same reconciliation that we have received is also for them to have, but for them to have it sometimes, we need to go out and share that with them. because somebody shared it with you, or somebody invited you to a church service, or somebody spoke to you off to the side and received you and led you to the Lord, whatever it might be. In wrapping this up, okay, so many believers are slowed in their spiritual growth for lack of wisdom. Sometimes teaching that stymies the spiritual growth is enthusiastically endorsed because believers do not know the scriptures. So wisdom, sometimes teaching that stymies the spiritual growth is enthusiastically endorsed because believers do not know the scriptures. They take them and manipulate them away, and then we get down the wrong path of what they're really meaning. We should heed Paul's warning against listening to people who pander to the flesh rather than identifying the truth that's in God's word. So beware, once again, of that of human philosophy and erroneous religious traditions that are contrary to Christ. There's a lot of traditions out there in our churches that have nothing to do with your relationship and your closeness to that of God. So much of it has been penned and put together by man's desires and doctrinal things that they have kind of circumvented anything of that of God's word, and they said, well, we're going to do it this way, and this is the way we're going to do it as a body, as an organization, as a whatever entity it might be. Do not be deceived. Hold fast to Christ, honor him, and to please that of the Father. To be wise in evaluating their spiritual experiences, knowing that they are not to produce pride or elitism. We walk in that of the power of the Spirit, but it's not me, it's the Spirit in me. You know, give the glory, give the honor to God for what's going on in your life and as you work and lead and share things and people. And I know many times people will say, you are so wise. You are so much closer to God than me. And it's like, well, I might be, but you could be the same place that I am. It's not just me. You know, this is what it takes. But we just have to be open to the people. We've got to be committed to these things. And we've got to get back to that understanding that God does not give the Spirit by measure. He puts in us a generous and boundless supply of the Spirit to accomplish the works he has for even us to accomplish. We are not on our own. We are his, and he will be with us in our days. We are not our own. How many times have I said, I've been bought with a price? I am no longer Tim. I've got my desires and my desires of doing things and all that, but if God all of a sudden shows up in my thoughts of what I want to do and he says, well, that's good to do, Tim, but I want you to do this, I better lay down what I want and say, it's all for you, God. It's all for you. And then he is the rewarder. He will bless you. And then chances are what you were going to do anyway, he will bless you with that down the road somewhere. He's just looking for you to be open to him and to say, yes, God, yes. Remember that song out there? He used to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. Let your answer be to him today, yes. And then he'll take care of it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this opportunity. And I thank you, Lord, for your word, the trueness of it, the power of it, the focus of it, the direction of it. Everything that we need when we need it is there in your word. I thank you for that of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. I know even at times we may feel alone, but we've got to understand that with you, with that of the Holy Spirit, we are never alone. I thank you for the comfort, the strength. Oh, Father, what we feel. I believe there are times when we do have that time of loneliness and going through a time. I thank you, Lord, that there's times people just sense a feeling of your arms wrapped around them and something, Lord, that they need. And so I thank you and I praise you for that. And Lord, I pray for this church and I pray for those that make up this church, that we as a church, that we as individuals understand again the ability that you have put within us and that you have not shortchanged us, that you have put everything that you have for us in us, Lord, the salvation through that of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And as we continue to grow and develop and ask for more of the leading of the Holy Spirit and more of the power and the fruits of the Spirit begin to open up in our lives, Father God, it just makes us more of an example to those around us. And it just shows the fulfillment of you in us, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, for each one here. I pray, Lord, that they will fulfill the destiny that you have placed upon them. I pray that anything currently or even ahead that might sidetrack or detract them from doing that, Lord, you will knock it out of the way. You will give them the strength to walk through it, over it, or under it, whatever it might be, Lord. But yet we will all fulfill the destiny upon our lives through that of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And go with us, Lord. Give us a great week. Let us be used by you this week to show your love, to show something to someone, Lord, that we come into contact with. Let us be an encourager, an exhorter, whatever it is, Lord, but just go with us, Lord, and let us bring honor and glory to you like that of what Jesus said that he was doing. Because it is not for us, it's all for you, my Heavenly Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.